Prayers, we're standing. Heavenly Father, at this special time of the year, we pray that you would help us to have ears to hear your truth to us, that we might appreciate Christmas afresh. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do take a seat. Well, I wonder if you saw the reworked Christmas classic in the Financial Times last week. It was entitled A Seasonal Tale of the Holiday in the Internet Age. And it went like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, no hard drive was whirring, no click of a mouse. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while pictures from YouTube twerked in their heads. The jumpers, the jewellery, the chocolates galore, such gifts lose their lustre against Apple's iStore. No cameras, no watches, and no must-have toy, not even Chanel is a guaranteed joy. The fun of the giving, the thrill of the shop, the traditions of Christmas are beginning to drop. The kiddies rush down, all grabbers and crouchers, but where is the fun in the Amazon vouchers? Well, despite the changes that the internet has brought, gifts are still a major focus at Christmas time. Now, I wonder who's been on your present list this year. Usually, of course, we give gifts to family and friends. We want to buy presents for people who we love and people who care about us and who we care for. We tend to give gifts to those who treat us well, people who have been generous to us perhaps in the year. And often we give gifts in return to those who have given gifts to us. It's obvious that we don't give a gift to the person who has slandered us in the past year. No one would. We don't give a gift to the irate neighbour who never has a kind word to say about us. No one would. Nor do we give a gift to the thief who stole the car stereo last month. No one would they? Well, we read earlier from the New Testament letter to Titus. It was written by a senior messenger apostle of Jesus to his younger colleague to encourage him to give a clear lead in the churches in what we would now call the holiday island of Crete. In chapter 2, we read these words, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all kinds of people." You see, the amazing thing about Christmas is the appearing of God's Son. And this appearing is an appearing of the grace of God. You see, Christmas tells us of one who, contrary to the usual expectation, has given a gift to those who had been against him. Christmas tells us of one who is a gift to those who don't deserve it. Christmas is about grace. But if grace is about the unworthy receiving presents they haven't deserved, indeed receiving gifts that they have positively dis-deserved, are we all really so lacking in merit to receive a gift from God? I read the other day about an American company that was planning its Christmas sales campaign. The board of directors was puzzled about how they could beat their competitors. Then suddenly the chairman had an idea. "We'll have a crib," he said, getting very excited. "We'll have the most expensive manger in the world. We're about to put Christmas back into Christmas." Well, from then on, there was no stopping them. They decided on a slogan lifted from the New Testament. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Well, then the sales staff arranged their goods in a great pyramid, topped with a stable with the animals, and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus giving their blessing to all the merchandise. When the chairman saw it, he was delighted as he thought of all the money that they would now make. And then he began to scowl. He called to his manager, "What's that thing on the top?" "It's the manger, sir." "Well, we don't sell mangers, do we?" "Throw it out," he shouted. Well, the blunt truth that the Bible makes plain is that all of us human beings might not literally throw out the manger in our decorative nativity scenes, but we have little time for the one who put the baby in that original manger that first Christmas day. We so often live our lives with scant regard for the one who made us and intended us to live in a partnership with him. Instead, by our own choice, all of us have pushed God to the margins of our lives. What characterizes us to a greater or lesser extent are the things alluded to in that reading from the letter of Titus. Just going with the flow of a world that rejects its maker, a self-orientated slant on life, and a disregard for the laws that God has given. Of course, a quick browse of any news website on your phone or tablet will illustrate that the whole world is in the same situation. Now, this doesn't sound very Christmassy, you might be thinking. Well, the truth is that we cannot see the significance of Christmas unless we recognize the reality of the world into which Jesus was born. We cannot understand the grace of God, which has appeared at Christmas, if we don't see first how undeserving of God's attention we all are and how incapable we remain of putting things right. Well, the wonderful grace of God that appeared at Christmas is seen in two particular ways. And the first is that God has become human for us. In our reading from Titus, the one whom Christmas is all about is referred to in a remarkable way. He is our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You see, the one born in Bethlehem was not merely a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, as the angels told the shepherds he was, but also he was, as they added, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. You see, the baby is no less than the Lord God himself come to earth. 25 years ago this Christmas, Terry Waite was being held hostage in Lebanon. He tells in his memoirs how for month after month, he was kept chained hand and foot. Most of his clothes were taken from him, along with his shoes and even his watch. For hours at a time, he could only curl up like a baby and feel as helpless as a baby. Now, as Christmas time came around, he thought, well, that's how Jesus must have been, utterly vulnerable and dependent on others. He had left the presence of his Father, left the glories of heaven to take on human form as a helpless child. You see, God, the eternal Son, has become human to share our experience. God in Jesus has walked where you walk. God in Jesus feels what you feel. He understands us, no matter what the challenges are that we face this Christmas. Well, do we deserve God to have come to us that first Christmas and become like one of us? Well, no, we don't deserve it at all. We've turned away from him. And yet, the grace of God has appeared. Our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, has become human for us. The grace of God that appeared at Christmas is seen in the fact that he became human. But also, it's seen in the reality that God become man has brought the rescue that we all need. We read in Titus 2 that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. A couple of weeks ago, the East Coast, of course, suffered the biggest tidal surge that we've seen for over 60 years. And sadly, even in our own village, people were affected. One of our residents, an infirm individual, was stuck in their home as the surge water approached. Thankfully, the emergency services were on hand, and the person was rescued from the threat of the water as it rose. The firefighter that was on duty that Thursday evening here in Ferriby brought salvation to that householder. The person, though not unworthy, was nonetheless helpless to help themselves. And another braved the danger in order to rescue them. The grace of God that has appeared, Jesus, our great God and Saviour, came on a mission to bring salvation, that is, rescue, to all sorts and all kinds of people. Now, of course, for him, the rescue, when he had grown up into a young man in his 30s, involved life-threatening danger. God's undeserved grace resulted in Jesus' death on a cross, paying the price of human failure to live for God. Now, just as countless people this evening are remembering Jesus' birth, they are at the same time, like we are to do, to share bread and wine in order to remember his death. You see, the grace of God in the appearing of Jesus in the manger of Bethlehem is linked to the grace of God on the cross just outside Jerusalem. God offers salvation through what he has done in his Son. That is forgiveness, purifying of our sins from the past, and a refocused life in partnership with him. God offers us a way back. He offers a rescue package, something none of us deserve. A rescue that leads to a life in connection to him, a life where we're drawn into what God has done through Jesus, who, in the words of our reading, gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So do we deserve to have God come to us that first Christmas and then give himself extraordinarily in order to restore us? Well, no. We don't deserve it. We've turned away from him so often. And yet the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all sorts of people. Well, millions of people all around the world this evening are singing Silent Night, Holy Night, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. And that's because Christmas is all about grace. In life, you know, justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting the bad things that we deserve. Grace, on the other hand, is when we get the good things that we don't deserve. When we get the good things that we don't deserve. The amazing truth of Christmas is that in spite of our turning away from God, God has offered us a great thing we don't deserve. He has become human for us in Jesus. And in spite of our undeserving, God has brought about a rescue that we all desperately need. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all sorts of people. So will we receive and enjoy that gift this Christmas? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy and the wonder of Christmas. We thank you that it is centered on your grace, your undeserved love. And we pray that you would give us all grace, that we might appreciate afresh what you have done, that we might indeed receive your grace into our lives. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.